Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And as promised, Carlo Broussard is here with us this hour. Carlo, apologist here at Catholic Answers, philosopher and author of a whole bunch of books, including the kind of now out, kind of forthcoming book, Meeting the Protestant Response. You know what I mean by kind of out?
It's in purgatory, or maybe limbo.
Well, that's funny that your purgatory book didn't go to purgatory, but your Meeting the Protestant Challenge book is in purgatory.
Well, the editorial process is a bit of a purgatorial experience.
For you. Yeah, the manuscript doesn't care, but for you it is.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Bible Blueprint for Confession this hour. The Bible Blueprint for Confession. So here's the deal. I mean, we Catholics, Christians, most Christians, I mean, if you include the Orthodox and most of the history of Christianity, most Christians have thought that there's a sacramental encounter that happens in confession, and that means that Christ himself founded it, it's in the Bible, and we should do it. And that meets objections over the last few centuries. It's met its strongest objections. Why do I have to do that? So can I really look in the Bible and find confession in there?
Yeah, this is one dogma of our faith that has explicit roots in sacred scripture, the written form of transmitting God's revelation. Other dogmas, like Mary's bodily assumption, say, are going to have implicit hints in scripture that comport with, jibe with, or consistent with what we have in the tradition, big T there. But the sacrament of confession is one of those teachings of the church that is there explicitly. And the text that has traditionally been appealed to and even taught infallibly by the church as one text that reveals the institution of this particular sacrament is John chapter 20, verse 23. That's the central text where on the night of the resurrection, our Lord appears to the, as John refers to them as the disciples, I would argue it's the 12 only, and says, peace be with you. He breathes on them, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he says, whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And as has been read throughout the centuries, that authority that Christ gives to the apostles to forgive or retain, i.e. not forgive, let's use that for simplicity's sake, to forgive or not to forgive, implies, number one, they're going to have to make a judgment whether to forgive or not to forgive. Secondly, in order for them to make a judgment, they're going to have to first know, be aware of the sins committed, and then also to know whether the person is sorry for the sin, whether there's contrition involved. So that Jesus gives them the authority to make the judgment to forgive or not to forgive implies necessarily that there's going to be some confession of sin taking place and an expression of sorrow for that sin in order for the apostle to make that judgment whether to forgive or not to forgive. Because the gift of reading souls, right, Cy?
It's kind of rare.
That's a rare gift. That's an extraordinary gift, a charism. But what Christ is giving to the apostles in the upper room is something that belongs to the apostolic ministry itself, not just a charism that would belong to a particular apostle and therefore die off with that apostle, but it's something being given to the apostolic office, the authority and the power to forgive sins. Of course, not a power that's derived from their very selves. It's not their power. It's the power of Jesus Christ, who is the God-man.
So it's a delegated power.
It's a delegated power in the sense that it is Christ who forgives, but forgives in and through the priestly ministry. He's ordained to have the faculty or to have the power, understood in a proper way, in order to administer the forgiveness of sins and making that judgment whether to forgive or not to forgive. And if he judges to forgive, Jesus forgives. And if he judges not to forgive, Jesus does not forgive. So that's the biblical text that the tradition has appealed to, the church has looked to as the biblical justification for this particular sacrament. That not that we need only sacred scripture to justify a particular belief. We're not operating on sola scriptura here. But there is a biblical justification, and we affirm it.
The number is 888-318-7884. And as you might guess, we're talking about confession. If you are a Protestant person who does not agree with us and you're wondering why should I have to talk to a priest to confess my sins, this is a perfect opportunity for you to call and we'll have that conversation. 888-318-7884. If you're a Catholic person, maybe you have Protestant family members, friends, who interlocutors, people you talk with online, I don't know, who you'd like to explain the biblical roots of confession to. If you have questions, 888-318-7884.
You know, Si, there may be someone out there listening who just recently has been baptized coming into the church.
Yeah.
And for such a person, they didn't have to receive the sacrament of reconciliation prior to baptism because all sin is remitted in baptism. And maybe perhaps they haven't gone to the sacrament of reconciliation yet.
Oh, yes,
that's
right.
After baptism for post-baptismal sins, which is what the sacrament of confession is for. So maybe there's somebody listening out there in that situation, and they're still wondering about this confession thing.
Yeah.
Although they've been baptized, they're Catholic, they just haven't yet used the sacrament yet. So maybe they have some questions that they would like some clarification on.
888-318-7884. I'll tell you what, as a Catholic who goes to confession regularly, and now I got to stand outside in a line, it's beautiful to see the people who come. There's often... you can just see the response on the person or feel the response within yourself, but not always. But it's worth it to find out about this. And so I hope you will call Carlo and ask your questions. I'll just tell you from my own experience. It's worth it. What is happening with all these people standing in line at Saturday afternoon at that parish? 888-318-7884.
Yeah, and you know, Si, just in order to put it on the table, what we're looking for here, you know, the title of the show is The Bible Blueprint for Confession. Of course, we want to talk about how to dialogue with our Protestant friends concerning this particular topic. But we're also extending our conversation to any questions that one might have, someone might have concerning the sacrament of confession in general. Like, what if I only have venial sins and I don't have any mortal sins? Should I still go to confession? That's a good question that often arises that deserves a good answer. And so if that's on the heart of anyone out there, give us a call.
888-318-7884. I think the one thing that you're not going to get an argument from Christians on, our fellow Christians, whether they're Orthodox, Catholic, Protestant, is that Christ's ministry is primarily a ministry of forgiveness. I mean, that's what he does, is
that's
he forgives sins.
That is the reason for which the Father sent him. In order that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, arise and walk, in Mark chapter 2, right?
Yeah.
I mean, his very name means the forgiveness of, to forgive sins, right?
Yeah.
And so his ministry is to actually forgive sins. And you know, Si, I'm glad you brought this up because this is key for understanding John chapter 20, verse 23, precisely because Jesus commissions the apostles to do the very thing that the Father sent him to do. He says, as the Father hath sent me, so I send you. Send them to do what? Whatever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whatever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, what did the Father send Jesus to do? To forgive
sins. Yes.
And to actually forgive sins. Not merely to preach the forgiveness of sins, although that was a part of his ministry, but to actually forgive sins. And Jesus is sending the apostles on that very same mission, which would, of course, involve the preaching of the forgiveness of sins.
Sure.
But in this case, Jesus is commissioning them to do what he did to actually forgive sins. And what's interesting about this is that the command for them to preach was already given prior in Jesus's ministry. Like, for example, in Mark chapter 6, verses 7 and 12, right? He gave them authority over unclean spirits. They went out and they preached that men should repent. So the preaching ministry was something that Jesus already commissioned them on in his ministry. Here, we have something new occurring, not to preach the forgiveness of sins, but to forgive sins. And this is important because a common Protestant response, hence the title of the book, forthcoming here in July, hopefully we'll have it in hand, a common Protestant response is that what Jesus is commissioning the apostles to do here in John chapter 20, verse 23, is to preach the forgiveness of sins. right?
Right.
Not to forgive. All he's doing is saying, go out and preach. And whenever that you preach the gospel, he who believes will be forgiven.
Yes.
He who does not believe the gospel message, his sins will be retained. Yeah. That's the common response. But if, follow me here, Si, okay?
Yeah.
If Jesus were only commissioning them to preach, then what Jesus is doing here would be nothing new.
Right, it would be the same thing he already sent them out to preach a bunch of times.
Exactly.
He said, go preach, yeah.
But, premise two, what Jesus is commissioning them to do here is something new. Never did Jesus tell them to forgive and retain. Never did Jesus breathe on them. Never did Jesus give them the Holy Spirit.
Something new is happening
Something new is happening here. Therefore, the conclusion is, Jesus is not commissioning them to preach, something that he's already did. He's commissioning them to do something new, and what is that? Forgive sins, and possibly in some circumstances, retain sins.
It's really beautiful when you think about it. The church does what Christ does then. If the church is there to forgive sins in the person of the priest, then the church carries on the mission of Christ.
That's right. It's an incarnational, the whole of sacramental theology is incarnational, right? The idea of God becoming man, taking upon flesh, the material world, assuming it to himself. And we see throughout Jesus's ministry that Jesus is going to use material stuff to be conduits, to be instruments of communicating grace. I mean, his own saliva and mud and water and all of these things. And in the sacrament of confession, you have that person-to-person contact, the verbal confession of the sin, the hearing of the absolving prayer in whatever form that's going to take throughout the history of the church, because we are human beings and our Lord relates to us as such because he created us like that. He knows how we tick, right?
Exactly.
And so he's going to talk the tick, tick the talk, something like that.
How do we get on TikTok? All right, we'll take a quick break. But lots of folks are on the line. There is one line open. We're talking about confession. You want to ask Carlo about the Bible blueprint for confession? Where is that in the Bible? Or if you have a more general question about confession, that's what we're here for. Give us a call, 888-318-7884.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting support provided by Homeschool Connections. Homeschool Connections hosts the Catholic Homeschool Conference. The 2022 Catholic Homeschool Conference is June 10th through 11th, and the website is CatholicHomeschoolConference.com. That's CatholicHomeschoolConference.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features daily Mass, prayers, articles, and meditations in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church. On the web at Magnificat.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I don't like looking back. I prefer to look forward and keep moving forward. There's plenty to cover. I do a lot of research and try to dig out the bits and pieces of a life or of an agenda that people don't want to talk about.
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, Thursday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Underwriting by Great Catholic Music.
Great Catholic Music, your one-of-a-kind streaming platform for traditional Catholic hymns and contemporary favorites 24 hours a day. Music that soothes the soul, that's safe for the whole family to listen to. What a relief. Great Catholic Music. Download the free mobile app or listen on any Alexa-enabled device or write from your PC or tablet at greatcatholicmusic.com. Great Catholic Music, melodies for the soul.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's always fun when Carlo's here, and I love it when we get to talk about the sacrament of confession, the encounter with Jesus in confession that has the power to take away sin, to restore us to the life of grace and to the proper relationship with God. If you've got questions about that, you're welcome to call. I'm going to be honest with you, every single line full at the moment, but as lines open up, I'll let you know. We're going to start with Mary in Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Mary, thank you so much for being here. Go ahead with your question for Carlo. Mary? I'm not exactly sure. Mary, I'll tell you what, hang on. I've noticed a lot lately that's the person is on mute, and then they got to remember that they're on mute. And then, so don't go anywhere, Mary. We're going to come back to you. In the meantime, we'll go to Northville, Michigan. Dave, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Dave, we're glad you're here. Go ahead and give Carlo your question.
Okay, thank you. I think you spent the last 5 minutes really answering my question, but since I was already at the queue, your radio evaluator said to go ahead and ask anyway.
Okay. Yeah, lay it on us.
I'm a relatively new Catholic, so I have to spend time defending my new Catholicism
sure.
with my friends who aren't. And
welcome home, Dave. Welcome to the Catholic Church, brother.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. I love it. But some of my Protestant friends present the fact that, they can confess their sins directly to God any time without the inconvenience of going to a priest. And they think that that's kind of, quote, an advantage. And I try to profess the fact that the Bible says that exactly what you talked about, you know, that the apostolic succession has given the priests, they're the vessel through which reconciliation has to go. But I would take any advice how to answer back to this challenge that they are presenting to me.
Okay, Dave, fantastic. Thank you very much. So my first thought, the first thought that comes to mind is an advantage in what sense? It's an advantage in the sense that you don't have to humble yourself and make up for your past sins, then that's just taking the easy road, which doesn't seem to be the gospel portrayed by our Lord nor the apostles. The way of Christianity is one where it involves acts of humility in humbling ourselves, number one, to submit to God, but humbling ourselves in the presence of others, being able to witness to Jesus Christ, even in the face of the threat of losing our lives. There's no advantage there. And so the question is, what do you mean? What an advantage to whom and in what way? And then also the next question, Dave, would be, what is the advantage, right? So if the advantage is merely, well, I get out of not having to humble myself, well, just to get out of not having to humble yourself, that might not be an advantage for your soul, right? We have to ask the question, what is the most important kind of advantage we should be seeking? And that is the advantage for our soul in our relationship with the Lord. And when we cast it in that light, Dave, we come to see that the sacrament of reconciliation is the advantage for us with regard to our relationship with the Lord. Number one, our Lord instituted the sacrament. So if that is true, as I was presenting earlier, well, then it would be an advantage to us to follow our Lord's will to use the sacrament that he gave us. Okay? Secondly, it's going to be an advantage to us that if the sacrament of reconciliation is true, given to us by our Lord, well, then as the church teaches, there are going to be spiritual benefits for us in the sacrament of reconciliation, receiving, for example, power, grace, in order to overcome the past sins that we've committed and confessed in the sacrament. We're going to receive the remission of some of the debt of temporal punishment due for sin. That's an advantage. We're still going to have some left over after the sacrament, but some is remitted in the sacrament of reconciliation. We're going to grow in holiness because of the grace that God is infusing in our soul through the sacrament, which enhances our relationship with him. And even, Dave, just on a practical level, right? In conversation with our Protestant friends who might think confessing to the Father in private is an advantage over and above confessing to the Father in private and in the sacrament, you might think about this and share this with them. Well, when we are confessing our faults, our sins, to the priests, we're holding ourselves accountable. Because think about it, Dave, if we're all honest with ourselves, in our own private settings, in our conversations with God, I don't know about you, and I don't know about your friend, but I've in the past, and still to this day, have to fight the temptation to try and rationalize my behavior. Well, it really wasn't that bad of a sin, or it really wasn't a sin at all. And we try to get out of our self-examination to justify our behavior in the sense that it's not a sin. Whereas when we're in the sacrament of reconciliation, we have someone to help temper that to where in the sacrament of reconciliation, it may come to light that whenever you're confessing a fault, the priest might say, well, and then ask further questions to lead you to come to the consideration that maybe you actually committed a sin when you thought you didn't, when you were privately having the conversation with yourself. So there's a practical benefit to it as well in the conversation with the priest to help us determine whether we're actually sinning or not sinning. Sometimes we might be guilty of we might have scrupulosity. We might be confessing a sin, thinking it's a sin, and the priest is like, no, that's actually not a sin. You just made a mistake there. It's not an actual sin. So that's a practical benefit to the sacrament of reconciliation as well. And finally, Dave, I would just say, as the Catechism points out, is that in frequenting the sacrament of reconciliation, it moves, it inspires us to frequent our examination of conscience, right? Because if you're going to confession often, before confession, you're going to be often examining the ways in which you have fallen short of Christian perfection and the Christian life. And that's a good thing, because if we can keep our faults at the forefront of our mind, at least we're able to identify what they are so that we can work to overcome them. So that's a sort of a, I guess, a shotgun shell of many ideas and thoughts that came to mind. But hopefully one or two things that I shared with you, Dave, will be helpful in your conversation with your friend.
No, that's extremely helpful. In fact, I wish I had had my recorder.
Oh, well, we recorded it for you, Dave. That's what we do for our, okay, for our listeners.
Oh, that's true. I could go back and...
Yeah,
I could go back and listen. I have one more difficult follow-up question, if I could.
Go ahead.
I want to move on. So if my friend says, are you saying that if I'm not confessing to a priest, my sins are not forgiven? Is that what you're saying to me?
Okay, well, there is a nuanced answer in response to that question, Dave. The answer is not necessarily. So the sacrament... Those to whom the sacraments are revealed, we are bound, right? So God, it is the power of God that's working in and through the sacrament, right? Well, if it's the power of God, well, then God doesn't need the sacrament to exercise his divine power to forgive our sins. He can do that even without the sacrament. And the church affirms this. In some situations, it's possible for someone to have the guilt of their sin remitted, whether venial or mortal, certain conditions would have to be in place, without the sacrament. So it's not necessarily the case that your friend will not have his sins forgiven without the sacrament. Only God will know whether your friend is disposed enough in the right condition to receive the mercy of God without the sacrament or not. So it is possible, but because we don't know for sure, and Jesus gave us these gifts and he wants us to use these gifts, hence, therefore, we extend the invitation to come into the church and to use these gifts so that we can know that we are forgiven of our sins through the use of the sacrament. So it's possible to be forgiven of the sins without the sacrament under certain conditions that would require some further explanation. But even though it's possible, our Lord still wants us to use the gifts. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given it to us.
Dave, thanks. I'm going to keep moving because, as we said before, lots of folks on the line. Kimberly in Boston, Massachusetts, watching on YouTube. Glad you're here with us, Kimberly. Go ahead with your question for Carlo.
Hi, Shai. Hi, Carlos.
Hi, Kimberly.
Thank you so much, you guys. I just love you both so much.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you, Kimberly.
Here's my question. I know a lot of people are waiting. So if you go to confession and you haven't had the opportunity to do a thorough, thorough examination of conscience, you're forgiven. You ask the priest, you know, anything else that I you know, don't remember, right. you know, and you're told you're forgiven. If now, next week, next month, next year, maybe mm-hmm. something from my youth or young adult, something comes to me, it's in my consciousness now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that forgiven? Should I praise God, thank him? Or because it's been brought to my conscience, should I, with my next confession, confess that? Because what keeps bothering me in my mind is knowing the deceiver will accuse me at my judgment.
Yeah.
So Jesus says he will remember your sin no more if it's been forgiven through the sacrament. So
yeah.
if I'm trying to do my best, that he has nothing to say.
Yeah, good work. I like the strategy.
That's my goal.
Yeah. That is correct. Well, Kimberly, the accuser would not be able... Oh, I hear the music.
Hang on, Kimberly.
Yeah. Hang tight.
That's me. That's my fault. We'll take a quick break. And we got to take this one. We can't put it off, Kimberly. So if you'll be so kind to hang on, and then we will get an answer to your question. We're talking about confession, the Bible blueprint for confession with Carlo Broussard. You're welcome to call whether you're Catholic or not. You got a question about Catholic belief in confession. 888-31-TRUTH.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com. Hello.
Yeah, you better say hello back to Kim.
Okay, your microphone's down. Okay, Kimberly, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
hello.
Kimberly, yes. So, Cy, I think we're having some technical difficulties here, and Cy is unable to speak into the microphone. So I'm going to go ahead and answer your question. Now, just for our listeners' sake, we're coming back from our break. And Kimberly, if my memory serves me correctly, you were asking about what happens if you... Well, actually, you didn't articulate your question because we came up on the hard break. So go ahead and state your question, and then I'll do my best to respond here.
Okay. I won't be as elongated, elaborate as before.
Okay, go ahead.
If after confession and you have been absolved of all your sins, even the ones that you couldn't remember because you weren't able to do like a maybe full deep down examination
right.
of conscience, if something after confession comes to you,
mind,
or maybe
that's
something
right.
from years ago,
yeah,
is that still considered to be forgiven or because it's at the forefront of your mind now, should you bring right. that back to confession?
Okay, so with regard to your first question, the answer is yes, the guilt of the sin is forgiven. So you can rest assured that the guilt is gone. Now, the second question, should I bring it to the sacrament of confession, even though the guilt is already forgiven? And the answer to that would be yes, not for the sake of having the guilt of the sin remitted, because that has already taken place, but for the sake of doing penance, because anytime we go to the sacrament of confession, we're submitting ourselves to the Lord. It is an act of humility, and of course, in yes. confessing our sins, that's a humbling act, confessing our sins to the priest. So it becomes sure. an act of penance in order to make up for our past sins, in order to take care of some of the debt of what we call temporal punishment for those past right. forgiven sins, and even to take care of any disorders that that sin may have caused within your soul. So we still can take the sin, even though it's already forgiven, to the sacrament, confess it as an act of penance. And if, I would go so far as to say, if the Lord is inspiring you and prompting you in this way, by bringing it back into your consciousness to where you become aware of it and you remember it, that might be a way in which the Lord is inviting you to do penance for that past sin
right.
as an act of love and an act of charity. Of course, we want that penance to be motivated by charity and love of God ultimately. And so we can take it to the sacrament of reconciliation. Once again, not for the sake of remitting the guilt, because that's already been taken care right. of, but for the sake of taking care of any remnants of that sin that it may have left over in our soul. And maybe perhaps we haven't taken care of the remnants of that sin fully, and so the Lord is inviting us to do so. And this, by the way, Cy, I don't know if you're back on your microphone here.
I don't know. Am I back? Yeah.
Yeah. Here you are. Yeah.
Backup microphone.
Backup microphone. So, you know, and Kimberly, I'm glad you asked this because, you know, Cy, this provides an answer to the question of should I confess my venial sins even though I don't have any mortal sins? Should I go to confession even though I don't have any mortal sins? And the answer is yes, because even venial sins, even though they can't, the guilt of venial sins can be remitted and forgiven by simply asking God in privacy of our own home, God, please forgive me, or in my heart and in my mind, we still want to take those venial sins to the sacrament to do that act of penance, to take care of any remnants of sin. And then also, Kimberly, by taking that sin to the sacrament, even though the guilt of it is already remitted, in the sacrament, you're actually going to receive graces, special sacramental graces, to help you overcome that sin if it is to be posed to you as a temptation in the future, and graces that you did not receive prior to the sacrament in not bringing it to the sacrament of reconciliation. So for the sake of doing penance and for the sake of receiving those extra graces that, I don't know about you, Kimberly, but I need the extra graces and the help.
Everyone I can get.
Amen to that. And so this is the generosity of God, God giving us these ways to help us grow in holiness and become the saints that we're called to be.
Oh, my gosh. That's excellent. You always give excellent answers.
Thank you, Kimberly.
I kind of knew in my heart, but it's nice to have the reassurance.
Sure.
That's the same as going to confession.
Yeah.
To be assured your sins were forgiven rather
Amen.
Than a guessing game.
That's
it's
right.
It's like trying to interpret the Bible yourself. You can't interpret what sins can be forgiven yourself.
Kimberly, could you just do me a favor and call every day? You make us feel so good. I just appreciate a call every day. Just check in. You'll be number one. Thanks, Kimberly.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right. God bless you, too. You know, it's funny. I was just saying to you at the break that I'm after work, I got to work again because we're going to have this. We're going to do a seminar on Roe versus Wade for our Society 315 people. And then my microphone died. With Trent Horn. With Trent Horn. Then the microphone died.
Hmm,
so I don't
interesting.
Know. I don't know. A little bit of interference there.
Yeah.
The actual probable cause is I stepped on a wire that I wasn't supposed to step on. It's probably something like that. The number is 888-318-7884. Carlos here to answer questions about confession. We got quite a few folks on the line, and we'll go to Spokane, Washington now. Jerry in Spokane, Washington, listening on 970 AM. Thanks for being with us, Jerry. Go ahead with your question for Carlo.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
I too,
like the first caller, I'm a new Catholic. I went through RCIA last year and had my first communion
Beautiful.
And reconciliation last year.
Congratulations.
Welcome home.
Thank you. I really can say I feel like I'm home.
Beautiful.
But my concern is I believe wholeheartedly that the Lord knows my heart and my mm-hmm. intention. But I turn into a blithering idiot the minute I get in line to go to reconciliation. I can't seem to get the words out correctly. I was blessed enough to have reconciliation just a little bit ago in front of Bishop Skillstad. He asked me, what am I confessing? I said, everything. Now, how appropriate is that? So I just wondered, is there any little hint that I can maybe calm myself, or I always ask God to help me find the right words, and please, Lord, let me do this correctly. But then I sit down, and I just can't pull it together. So help.
Yes. All right, Jerry. Hopefully, I can give you some advice here and help you out. One suggestion.
Thank you.
Yeah, one suggestion would be just write your sins down. Like, there's no prohibition to taking a piece of paper or even your phone, right? You know, I keep a track of daily conscience whenever I fall short of the Christian way of life and offend our Lord. I keep track of it, right? Whether
okay.
it's on your phone or a little notepad or a piece of paper, when you examine your conscience, just, you know, make your list. If you need the instructions on how to go to confession, like what's the steps, well, you can take that in
mm-hmm.
with you as well as you go to the sacrament. But I find, you know, making a list of the sins, even if it's just a couple of words, you know, just to help you remember, that way you're not so stressed about, I got to get it all out here, I got to remember, and oh my gosh, I only remember 2 and I had 10, right? Just make a list, and that will help calm you down, okay? Secondly, the second thought that comes to mind is, you don't have to go into great details. There is no need for all the details surrounding the sin, right? So you made the comment like, please, Lord, give me the right words to say. And that's a beautiful prayer. But just know, Jerry, that the right words to say is just say the sin. Like, bless me, Father, I have sinned. It's been 2 weeks since my last confession. These are my sins. I'm guilty of X. I'm guilty of Y. I'm guilty of Z, right? There's no need to give the priest the whole explanation. In fact, most priests are going to be like, just state it and let's move on, right? Now, if the priest, given the circumstances, if he has the time, he may inquire, like if you say, I'm guilty, I have committed sin X, or I'm guilty of X. He may inquire, ask a few questions to try to get a little bit more information that he might be able to help you out with. If he has time to give you a bit of spiritual direction, he may very well do that in the sacrament itself. But leave that judgment up to him. All you need to do is just state your sins, and then if he asks questions, follow the prompts, have the conversation with him. If he does not ask any questions, well, then you've stated your sins. The matter of the confession is there. And whenever he asks you to make your act of contrition, you simply make your act of contrition. And then it's done and over, Jerry. So there's no need to get all worked up, because it's very simple. The sacrament is there to forgive sins, not for the sake of giving you the opportunity to articulate your whole discerning process and what led you up to the sin, right? It's just state the sin, you're going to be forgiven if you have the contrition needed.
Thank you so much. I wasn't sure if I could. I have little cheat sheet cards that, you know, I got in RCIA, but I wasn't sure if I can take those with me or is
sure.
that acceptable. So thank you for your help. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Jerry.
Jerry, I'd like to make
thank
a...
Thank you.
I just want to take this opportunity to just say something. It might be helpful to you, Jerry, but it might be helpful to others. But
okay.
We did, with our former chaplain, Father Hugh Barber, we did an entire focus episode on how to make a good confession. And if you just type into your Google machine, Father Hugh Barber, how to make a good confession, you'll probably find it. Or you could search our Catholic Answers page on YouTube, because it'll be there. But he kind of gave it from the priest's perspective, like, what do I need? What do you need to say? And what's helpful? And a lot of people found that conversation with Father Hugh helpful. You don't need any more than Carlo just gave you. But if you're interested, and I thought since you asked the question, maybe there's other people who are interested as well. And it's kind of a more extended conversation. You can check out our Catholic Answers Focus episode with Father Hugh Barber on how to make a good confession.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, and I hope you both have a blessed rest of your evening.
You too. Jerry. Thank you very much. And we'll take a quick break.
Thank you so much. Bye.
All right, right back with more with Carlo Broussard on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN uses the power of radio to reach people whenever and wherever they're searching for answers to questions about their Catholic faith. EWTN Radio is heard on over 500 domestic and international AM and FM radio affiliates. For a complete list of programs and how to hear EWTN Radio, visit EWTN.com and click radio. EWTN, the global Catholic network.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith, along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And I said the wrong title for the confession episode. The actual title is The Surprising Thing That Brings Jesus Joy. And you can get that at Catholic Answers Focus. Just type in The Surprising Thing That Brings Jesus Joy. We'll also connect to it in the show notes, because I was just talking with our last caller, Jerry, about a question that she had about confession. And this is basically a full, I don't know, half hour with Father Hugh about how to make a good confession. The number here is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And now I believe I'm going to go to Vicky in Colorado Springs, Colorado, listening to EWTN on the Alexa. Vicky, thanks for being with us. Go ahead with your question for Carlo.
Hi, it's more of a statement about the caller that called in earlier, the gentleman that was talking about his friend that was a Protestant. I'm actually still a Protestant, hoping to go to RCIA. This September, so I'm really excited. But what he was talking about, the belief about, being able to go right to God and be forgiven.
Right.
That's definitely, what we're taught. And then I had just gone to church last year, and the preacher there said, well, we need to confess to one another. And
that's right.
And then the Bible says to confess to one another. But my thought was, well, some of my sins, I wouldn't feel comfortable even telling my girlfriend. And, my thought was, where Catholics have it so much better, where they can speak to a priest and ask, in the privacy, and know that it's not going to go anywhere, as opposed to, how
Amen.
Gossip spreads and whatnot. And I just find it so much more biblical to go to the priest . So
well,
that was just my comment.
Thank you, Vicky. Yeah, you bring up a great point, because you know, the Catholic understanding of the sacrament of reconciliation, we have the sacramental seal, well, where the church teaches a priest must be willing to go to death before divulging the sins confessed within the sacrament. So like you said, Vicky, if you have one of these secret sins that you would not even reveal to one of your dear friends, right, that you have intimate conversations with, the sacrament of reconciliation provides that opportunity, that practical benefit for someone to get that sin off the chest, right, so to speak, but not only to lighten the weight of the sin by confessing it and getting it off your chest, but also to be actually forgiven of the sin. And you bring up also another good point, Vicky, is, you know, Scripture does speak of public confession of sins. So do, and this is another point, so I forgot to mention earlier, we do affirm that you can privately confess your sins to God. I mean, that's part of our daily practice as Catholics and what we're called to examine our conscience. And every time we sin, at the moment we sin, to beg God for forgiveness, right? But affirming that does not entail rejecting the gift of the sacrament that Jesus has given us, right? So that's one thing I wanted to say. But, you know, Vicky, you're correct that James 5:16, James does speak of confessing your sins one to the other. Some interpret that as the penitent confessing sins to the presbyter that's administering this, the anointing of the oil and the forgiveness of sins within verses 14 through 15. But others interpret that as a verbal confession of sins, as Vicky, you pointed out, this pastor did. And we also see in the Paul's letter to the Ephesians, you know, at one point the Ephesians are repenting of their sins and divulging their occultic practices, right? Confessing their sins out loud. So a public confession of sin is something that God sees as is something that's needed for us as human beings, right? Let alone as Christians, that we have someone to confess our sins to. And what better way in the seal of confession with the representative of God who can actually have the power to absolve us of our sins. So, Vicky, thank you for sharing your comments, and 100% correct.
And as you're coming into the church, Vicky, I'd love to send you one of Carlo's books, and you decide the one you want. Just tell Edgar which one you want, whether it's Purgatory is for Real or Meeting the Protestant Challenge. Both of those I know we've got. And so if you'd like one, just hang on the line, and Edgar will get your information and send it to you. One of the great things about being here in the studio at Catholic Answers is people come by for visits, and we have a visitor in studio. From Philadelphia?
Yes, that's correct.
Thanks for walking all the way here from Philadelphia. you got, first of all, why don't you tell us your first name and then go ahead and give your question to Carlo.
Yeah, my name is Lauren. And Carlo, I think earlier I heard you say that some of our sin is remitted in confession. I was just wondering what is not remitted.
Yeah, great question.
Very
so
good.
Welcome to Catholic Answers, Lauren. And yeah. You got some guts coming on.
I know.
Catholic Answers Live asking your question.
I saw the other two guys that were with you fled the studio. They were so afraid of coming in here and asking a question.
Yeah, so there are certain effects of the sin, one of which is the guilt of sin, or the defilement on the soul. It's described in the Bible as, you know, the white soul becoming as red, right? It's often described as a sort of a marking, right? This defilement on the soul. St. Thomas Aquinas would describe it as the light within the soul being darkened. That effect of the sin, namely the guilt of sin, is that which is remitted through the act of contrition in the sacrament of reconciliation. That guilt can also be remitted apart from the sacrament in certain circumstances. For venial sins, simple act of contrition will remit that aspect or that effect of the sin, to use the proper terminology. Even the guilt of mortal sin can possibly be remitted without the sacrament of reconciliation in extraordinary circumstances if one has perfect contrition, which means sorrow out of love of God, and if known, the intention to receive the sacrament when it's available, okay? Now, the other effects of sin, which the theological tradition and the church has identified, is, for example, disordered attachments to creaturely goods, because every sin is going to involve me turning to some good and using that good in a way that's not perfectly in harmony with God's design, right? So the chocolate cake, I eat too much, I overindulge, I'm relating to this material good, right? That's a good thing, but I'm not quite, I don't have this healthy relationship with it because I have this, I'm indulging it in a way that's contrary to how God wants me to relate to it, right? And you can just fill in the blank with any creaturely good. It might be money, might be material goods like a car or house. And so if I overindulge and I turn to this good in a way that's contrary to God's design, it's going to create within me a disordered inclination to it, right? So I confess, guilt is removed. But there's something remaining, kind of like if you get cut and you get a scar, right? The scar remains. The scar within the soul would be that disordered inclination to go to that good again in a disordered, inordinate way. So we gotta, by God's grace, through acts of penance, this is what penance is for, is to try and reorder that disordered inclination to the good. And that's going to come through various acts of love, prayer, maybe even offering up involuntary suffering that comes my way in my life and offering it up to God as a sacrifice, or voluntary imposing suffering on myself. I might not drink coffee for a day. That would be suffering for me.
And for everybody around you,
or
probably.
Or not eat, you know, the chocolate cake for dessert. But so that's the unhealthy attachments to creaturely goods that the Catechism speaks of in paragraph 1472. Some of that can be taken care of in the sacrament along with the guilt, but some of it may remain, hence the need for penance. Now, there's also another effect of sin called the debt of temporal punishment due for the past forgiven sin. And that's just basically this. Because I took pleasure in a creaturely good when and how I should not have taken pleasure in it, there is a displeasure that's due to me. Right? Because God has set up our human behavior such that pleasure is supposed to go with good behavior, displeasure is supposed to go with bad behavior. But I engaged in bad behavior and took pleasure in it. So there's a disorder there. And that disorder needs to be ordered. So the debt of temporal punishment is a temporary displeasure that's due to me on account of the sin, the guilt of which has already been remitted. So I have this debt of temporal punishment remaining. So how do I take care of that? Again, acts of penance. That's what penance is for. Acts of charity. Whenever I do a good thing for another person, right? I might wash the dishes for my wife or help my wife out with the kids or whatever it may be, right? And I do it out of love. That's a way to get rid of some of that debt of temporal punishment. Abstaining from a certain creaturely good. I'm not going to eat chocolate cake for dessert. I'm going to abstain from dessert today. Today I was walking in the hallway and I saw that Crackle chocolate candy there.
I do not know who put that there, but I love that
and
person.
Boy, it was very, very tempting. And that was an opportunity. I will not say whether I succeeded or did not succeed in eating it, but it was an opportunity for me to forego that creaturely good as an act of penance to take care of remaining debt of temporal punishment, because that's a sort of displeasure, right? And so I can take on that displeasure, direct it to God, and say, God, I want this displeasure to count for taking care of some of that displeasure that's due to me on account of the past sin, so that I don't have to experience it if I were to die today in purgatory. Does that help?
How's that, Lauren?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Awesome.
We'll consider voluntarily walking back to Philadelphia.
Well done, Lauren.
Yes.
Well done. I got a call we can get to real quick. Do you think we can? It seems like one that you might be able to answer quickly.
Let's give it a shot.
Erica in Salem, Oregon, listening on Modern Day Catholic Radio. If you could be really quick, Erica, we'll try to get you an answer.
All right. Can a Christian who was baptized validly outside of the Catholic Church go to confession and do what they're supposed to do, learn about it, and be validly absolved?
The answer is yes, Erica. This happens every time someone's in RCIA coming into full communion with the Church. They often, hopefully, receive the Sacrament of Reconciliation before they receive the final two sacraments of initiation, confirmation, and Eucharist. Now, that's in the ordinary course of events, and that's what, you know, in ordinary circumstances, everyone should do, right, before receiving the Sacrament of Reconciliation, be going through the RCIA process. But there are extraordinary circumstances where one might not be able to go through the RCIA process and has been validly baptized and thus has access to the sacraments and receive the Sacrament of Reconciliation, even though before they come into full communion in a way that's apart from the RCIA process.
So like if someone were in the hospital dying and a Catholic priest came by, they could, any baptized Christian could make a confession
they
to
could
that
make
priest.
A confession.
Priest
Amen.
Can absolve them. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Eric, I hope that that was helpful to you. Thank you for being quick with your question. I'm
Amen.
Sorry we don't have more time to spend. But Carlo Broussard, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Always a fun hour.
It was a pleasure, brother.
Lauren, thanks for coming into the studio.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be back tomorrow. We're going to do open forum, right? So anybody can ask anything they want. And they don't have to be Catholic to call. Is that right, Darren? All right. We'll see you then, God willing. Right? Why are you laughing, Darren? I needed an answer. See you then, God willing, right here, Catholic Answers Live.